Good afternoon. Welcome to the Ag Market Network, our monthly cotton market meeting for this September the 12th. We want to, as always, recognize and thank BASF for making this program possible. They are the owners, as you know, of Fibermax and Stoneville Cottonseed. Today's program is being led by Dr. John Robinson, and he's joining our cotton panel made up of Dr. O.A. Cleveland and Kip Butts and Gerald Nieper. John, thanks for leading us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Pat. Hello to everybody. I would characterize the September WASDE report as you know, somewhat bullish. It reflects more tightening with the world numbers. It reflects continued tightening of the world balance sheet. So beginning with the supply side, we saw a cut in beginning stocks, partially offset, but we saw 400,000 bale cut out of India, partially offset by a 200,000 bale upward bump in Pakistan. So whatever that was, a net 170,000 fewer bales of beginning stocks. World production, same thing. They lowered world production a little over a million bales. Half of that was in the U.S. India also had a 500,000 bale cut. West Africa had 110,000 bale cut. And that was all partially offset by a 300,000 bale bump in China. The imports category continues to be cut. This month it was 640,000 fewer bales. Most of that was a 500,000 bale cut in China, 200,000 bale cut in Vietnam, and again, partially offset by a bump upward of 300,000 bales in India. The demand side was also reflects tightening, but not as much as we'll see, not as much as what happened on the supply side. World exports were reduced a little over a 500,000 bales. That was mostly in the U.S., India, and West Africa. World domestic use continues, well, actually I forgot what happened last month, but anyway, they cut world domestic use 460,000 bales. Most of that was Vietnam, Turkey, and Bangladesh. So what you wind up with the world numbers is roughly 2 million bales cut out of the supply side and roughly a million bales cut out of the demand side, so you get world ending stocks going down 1.12 million bales, and that's, you know, that's a modestly bullish adjustment. So I already mentioned production cuts in the United States. Looking at the U.S. balance sheet, they didn't tinker with acreage at all, so no changes in planted, no changes in harvested or abandonment. It was all downgrades in yield, which was spread across 9 states, but the biggest reductions in bales were Texas with a little over 400,000, Georgia with 100,000, and Oklahoma with 80,000. So cutting production with fewer exportable surpluses, they cut U.S. Exports 2 million bales. The bottom line of it is a 500,000 bale cut in ending stocks, so now we're down to 4 million. You know, it's a price-supporting adjustment, and I'd say it's kind of a neutral level if it stays there at 4 million, but we'll have to see. But that's basically the summary of the report in a nutshell, and Pat, I'll hand it over to you.
Well, let's just open it up to everybody. Any comments on this report?
Well, this is a way, as we were expecting the 500,000 bale cut in Indian production and the Pakistani crop, they only cut it 300,000. I was expecting more than that, but very much expected because we've seen all the news, but we've also seen them take action to buy on a very strong basis U.S. cotton here the last month. So I would anticipate that certainly Pakistan, more so than India, will probably continue to be fairly aggressive in buying U.S. cotton. The number that strikes me the most is, of course, that world trade continues to decline. Cotton consumption continues to decline. Cotton is not being promoted anywhere. it's just a bit of a shame. There's lip service about cotton, but it's just being promoted, but it's just folks trying to protect their jobs. All they're doing, they're not doing anything. So I'll shut up with that. You don't want to hear that. Thank you.
Can I ask why would Indian production be down if they had a rainier than normal August, which I understand they did?
They got off to a bad start. They plant cotton over there for maybe 9 months out of the year. It moves through the country. So then they've had some temperature problems. It's really been a drier year than typical for much of India.
Okay. Any other thoughts about the port?
I'll stay on my high horse another. This is going to be the second consecutive year, and certainly 1 year doesn't make anything, and 2 years don't make anything. But people boohooed me last year. This is the second consecutive year that we will see a higher level of production in Brazil and a higher level of exports in Brazil, higher than the United States. The U.S. has been supplanted as the primary exporting country in the world. U.S. cotton is too expensive vis-a-vis Brazilian cotton. It's very much the same genetics, very much the same quality. What we used to have the comparative advantage in crop production, in cotton production, we don't have that. Hit me over the head, beat me to death for saying that out loud. But if you want to stay in business, you're going to have to figure out a way to get down to the Brazilian price level, a cost of production level. But we are becoming an also run. And that doesn't make me feel good to say that. Thank you. Go ahead.
Gerald, you got any thoughts?
Well, you know, one way to get exports up is to get production up. And so, you know, production in the United States has not been, you know, the last time we had a decent big number was in 2021, you know, when we had, 17.5. And, you know, the last, if you look at 22, 23, and now 24, 28 and 40 divided by 3. I mean, we're barely 14 million, just over 14 million bales a year, and you're not going to get a big export number when you just stop producing anything. If we were producing 18 to 20 million bales, like we're capable of, yeah, we probably would be a lot cheaper, and we would probably sell it. I guess that's the problem. If we were producing, you know, 17 to 20 million bales a year, we'd be in the low 60s, high 50s, and we'd probably sell more. But you know, and Brazil's they've got more stuff to move than we do, you know, and they can be more aggressive on it. I mean, their cost of production is pretty cheap over there. you know, you got two crops a year off of the same ground. You know, it's rain fed. It's 3 bales the acre. I don't know what their cost of production is over there, but it's anywhere. It's probably 10 or 15 cents a pound. It's not more cheaper than the U.S. And they want to get it moved. They really don't have any on farm storage to speak of, and they want to get it, you know, out of their hands as quickly as possible. So they are motivated. You know, guys here have had, you know, some yield struggles and you know, you can't blame, and input prices have gone up. It's hard to sit there and say, yeah, we can sell it cheap. I think we could sell it cheaper if the yields were higher and we're struggling with consistently, you know, decent yields, especially in Texas. I mean, that's where we're really struggling. The Mid-South and the Southeast, the Mid-South in particular, what are they averaging now? Almost 1,200 pounds to the acre, which is decent. But I mean, you look at Brazil, and what are they averaging? 1,500 pounds, and most of that is rain grown. unbelievable. So they have some advantages. We need some weather problems or some insect problems or something to take care of some of that Brazilian crop down there so we can be more competitive.
That's all very interesting, and I would not say it's everything you said is correct, but it begets the situation that world consumption is declining.
Exactly.
It goes
exactly.
back to my demand situation. We're not doing anything about demand, and until we decide to wake up and start promoting cotton, it's this same pattern. We're losing fiber share to synthetics. We're losing fiber share to other fibers. We're losing fiber share, it's all encompassed, to these new fibers that we have known were coming, and yet we sat there and watched them outcompete us. We wrote the textbook in the 1980s on how to compete with fiber, and then comes 1995 in the year 2000, we just closed that textbook and said, oh, we've been too successful. We need to quit promoting cotton. We need to let some other fiber take over. And we had meetings at racetracks and things like that and would have a fashion show. What did that sell? At best, one bale of cotton? I don't think so.
Oh, well, you make a very good point, and I was completely, amiss for not talking about that. I mean, if we just kept up our normal, trend line, consumption patterns, we should be at 124, 125 million, if not more right now. And if you had an extra 10 million bales in consumption around the world, it wouldn't matter if Brazil was producing more than us or even equal to us. Both countries would be selling it all,
Right. We'd have another 3 million bale exports. But it has to be very frustrating to the grower. To sit there and see that. I'm going to. The other number that came out today that it's not a killer. It was not released by WASDE, but the producer price index came out just a little bit hot, telling us that inflation should still be certainly on the front of the windscreen. It's still a problem, and we'll have to. That will probably tend to continue to affect demand, taking discretionary funds away from the apparel and the fiber market for just at natural normal living expenses.
Well, let's talk about prices. We were up today in December cotton, up 77 to 70.38 with a high of 70.59. Gerald, what are your thoughts on price? How low can we go? How high can we go? Or any thoughts you want to pass on to farmers about marketing?
Well, so far, Pat, it seems like that 67, I mean, we did go down into, 66.56 at one point, but on the December contract, but so far 67, 68 cents is proving to be pretty steady support. We just can't build up any momentum to go higher. The nice thing is the last 2 days we've run higher and have settled, at the upper end of the trading range. Today we settled above a trend line. Now comes the hard part, getting us up to 72, 73 cents. I think that we'll challenge 75 to 78 cents, maybe before the year's out, before the calendar year's out. But I think, if this thing is going to be real bullish, it's probably going to be the first quarter of next year before we should maybe challenge 80 cents at some point. But I think we're going to have to sell a lot of cotton down here, get rid of a lot of supplies in this, let's call it 67 to 72 cent range for a while before we can, I think, move higher with comfort.
Okay. John, what are your thoughts on price?
I kind of agree with the idea of upper 60s to upper 70s. So I'd say 67 to 77, and I'm still looking. There's still 80,000 outright shorts being held by the non-commercial hedge fund types, which could bring that about if they ever get scared of anything.
Okay, Kip.
I hate to kind of fall in line with everybody because that normally means we're all wrong, but I agree with the thought of 66 to maybe 75, 77 cents or so. But I'm more inclined to think that we've got to get some kind. Always point is well made. We've got to get some demand for cotton. And right now, I'm a little concerned that we're not going to get much cotton sold at this level. We may have to go a little bit lower to compete just to get stuff sold. And I think that's going to be I'm afraid that's going to be a bigger challenge than we really want to believe, because I'm concerned that OA pointed out that the PPI was a little hotter than expected, and inflation is certainly calmer, but it hasn't gone away, and I'm afraid that this is catching up with the consumer, another point that OA made. And so we're just going to have to, and it's not just in the U.S., it's worldwide. So I'm concerned that demand's going to have to pick up quite a lot, and I'm concerned we may not see that. So that's why I'm thinking that we're going to stay more at the low end of that range than the high end.
All right, OA, what are your thoughts? OA? Can you hear me, OA? Can anybody else hear me?
Yes, I can.
We must have lost.
I think OA's the problem here. I think we lost him.
What's your first name? You aren't Lynn. You're not Lindsay. You're the. What's your name?
Well.
Or do you not want to say?
Anybody else want to contribute anything while we're waiting?
Oh, wait, are you there?
I thought I heard him say something.
Yeah, I think he was
talking to somebody else.
Yeah,
oh.
he was. I think he may have had taken a call. He was trying to get some stuff done this morning. I'm afraid something may just come through.
If we can catch him in just a minute, that's fine. Any closing thoughts anybody's got they'd like to share with us? Or have we pretty much covered it?
Well, I think I've covered
no,
all.
I just think it's been pretty impressive that this market's been, pretty stout, it seems like, particularly between 67 and 68 cents. And whether or not we can go higher, faster, and like Kip says, maybe we need to stay down here to sell some more cotton. But I think we're going to end up underestimating one of these days how much higher this market can go. So,
I guess a question for you, Gerald, is there a place that these funds that are short decide they want to start covering shorts? Technically, where is that level?
I still think it's 73 cents. You get above there, and I think that they'll not only cover shorts, but they'll try to go long. I really feel pretty good about that. But,
you've certainly been right so far in that comment. I mean, you basically said that last month.
Yeah, yeah. I still think that's where we're at. It's good. Oh, wait, you are back.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to get an MRI set up. It's been like pulling teeth, but so I apologize for whatever happened. That my phone bled into, maybe that conversation bled into y'all, but. I'll shut up. You've been right so far, Gerald. In this case,
OA, it's your turn to give us your forecast on price.
Oh, okay. Well, as much as it pains me, actually, I pretty much agree with Gerald. The 75, 78 cents on the top side. I can't. Well, I mean, it's cotton. He's pretty good with cotton. It's just all that other stuff that he's not very good with. I just pretty much agree with him. I hate to use the word bullish. There is no demand out there. You cannot have a bullish market without demand. So it's all supply driven, and we still going to, Gerald is 75 to 78, between, possibly, I think, as he said, by the end of harvest, by the January the 1st. And I'm the same way. I don't know that I get too warm towards 78 cents until we get out into March or May. But if we get a little bit of demand, we or if the crop gets smaller. But without demand, we can't go far. We just can't go far.
Cheryl, you made a comment that we would are underestimating the upside of this, and you feel like it we may be surprised. What is that? What you got you in that frame of mind? What are you basing that on?
I don't know. It's just. You know, it's been too easy to be real bearish this year for a whole slew of reasons, you know. And I think it looked like one time we were going to go down and all of a sudden bales were going to go into loan and we'd have an LDP. And this market has been fairly stout. John, you pointed out a good thing that these specs are really still very, very short from a historical standpoint. And, you know, if they can't push it down, they're going to start trying to push it up. Now, offsetting that, there's a hell of a lot of grower selling, you know, that's sitting above this market if when you sit there and you look at on-call purchases, you know. So you got to chew through a lot of that grower selling before you can make a run for, you know, a much better number on the upside. But I feel like we're just going to get shocked one day and go, damn, you know, we're at 85 cents. I'm not saying that, but it just seems like we're due a surprise, maybe.
Okay.
Well, you know, the question of what would it take, I can answer that. It would take funds covering shorts. And now what it takes to get them to cover shorts, you know, Gerald mentioned 73 cents on the charts. There's a level where those guys start to buy the market to cover shorts, and they won't be looking at supply or demand. They just here
right.
we go. Now it can take
right.
3 or 4 days to trade 5 or 6 cents, and then that's it. And it doesn't necessarily have any meaning. So that's what it's
right.
going to ultimately take. And it might be a whole lot above us that keeps that from happening. But if it crosses that line, we're going to get a flurry moving up, and
mm-hmm.
it would be a quite a bit of selling, I would think, at some levels. So anyway, well, let's wrap it up.
Pardon me, Pat, and make sure I understand you. It'd be quite a bit of buying of futures.
Oh well, no, there would be selling of cash. I mean, I think there would.
Oh yes, quite a bit of cash market.
But what would probably
fill that, yes.
What would overpower that could be what the funds are doing as they cover
right,
short.
Right, right.
So
I was just coming at different directions.
I think it's a market. If it does it, it's going to do it. It won't take long to do it once it starts. So anyway, if there's any hope, I think it feels like from what people are saying, we're in a kind of a broad trading range, and that. We could very well stay in it for a while, but if we ever take out some levels above us, then it might surprise people, as Gerald says. Anyway, let's.
It's going to take that, in my opinion, to get to 78 cents. Well, we've got to have some shorts covering. Go ahead, continue. I won't interrupt any more till the next.
No, that's
go
all.
Ahead.
I just was going to wrap this up.
Well, let me make one comment or ask a question. It's time to start thinking about what we're going to plant next year. And my thought is, and I'll throw it out, just if I get a one-word comment or something, that we're going to probably, acreage is going to be pretty flat next year. We're not going to lose acreage like we have been losing acreage. I think we'll plant at least the same amount. Anybody have any feeling, or is it just too early for you?
It's early, okay. But the price ratio criterion would agree with you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you all.
All right, let's go ahead and wrap this up. We want to thank our cotton panel. John, thanks for leading us. Special thanks to our sponsor, BASF, for making the program possible. And that concludes this edition of the Ag Market Network. Thank you.